New Testament reading this morning comes from Matthew 5, found on page 9 of your pew Bible. You have heard that people were told in the past, do not commit murder. Anyone who does will be brought to trial. But now I tell you, if you are angry with your brother, you will be brought to trial. If you call your brother, you good for nothing, you will be brought before the council. And if you call your brother a worthless fool, you will be in danger of going to the fire of hell. So if you are about to offer your gift to God at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go at once and make peace with your brother. And then come back and offer your gift to God. If someone brings a lawsuit against you and takes you to court, settle the dispute while there is time before you get to court. Once you are there, you will be turned over to the judge. He will hand you over to the police and you will be put in jail. There you will stay, I tell you, until you pay the last penny of your fine. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, but now I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman and wants to possess her is guilty of committing adultery with her in his heart. So your right eye causes you to sin, take it out and throw it away. It is much better for you to lose a part of your body than to have your whole body thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is much better for you to lose one of your limbs than to have your whole body go off to hell. It was also said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a written notice of divorce. But now I tell you, if a man divorces his wife for any cause other than her unfaithfulness, then he is guilty of making her commit adultery if she marries again. And the man who marries her commits adultery also. You have also heard that people were told in the past, do not break your promise, but do what you have vowed to the Lord to do. But now I tell you, do not use any vow when you make a promise. Do not swear by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is the resting place for his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is his city of the great king. Do not even swear by your head before, because you cannot make a single hair white or black. Just say yes or no. Anything else you say comes from the evil one. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I want to take the opportunity of the beginning of our time of homily to get ready to say goodbye to my friend, your friend, Larry McCall. Larry, who has 3 World Series rings, World Series champion rings, has just been hired as the pitching coach with the Atlanta Braves, and leaves this week to go and get his 4th ring. Go to him, Tiger. Get him. We're very proud of you, my friend. I am certain the error is mine. I'm certain of that. Phil, where are you? I don't know. Phil Hall, who just read. Are you in here? Did he leave? That's all I need to know right there. Well, I was going to take up for him. I'm certain it is my error. Let's go back and look at the actual the scripture I'll be preaching from this morning. Still Matthew 5, but I want to highlight these verses, 13 through 20. You bear with me, please. Matthew 5, smack dab in the middle of what you and I would call the Sermon on the Mount. Relax, folks. I have a relatively short service this morning. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, you are like salt for the whole human race, but if salt loses its saltiness, there is no way to make it salty again. It has become worthless. So, it is thrown out, and people trample it underfoot. You are like a light that has been lit for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, it is put on a lampstand where it gives light for everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father. Now, do you remember last week we talked about how essential it is not only that you do good works in the name of God, but that you do them in the name of God. You let people know, I'm doing this to the glory of God. Not in a way that points a spotlight back on you. There's so many TV preachers that I watch here and there. I can't take much of it, so I don't watch long. But when I turn it on and they say things like, now, I don't want the glory for me. This is for other people. Phil, I just saw you. This is for other people. And by so doing, immediately turns the spotlight on themselves. And I'm not wanting you to think, well, Pastor Joe says I need to go out and do a lot of good things and let people know that I need to go and say, well, yeah, I know I really did a great thing here, but I want you to know I'm doing it for God. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the fact that light cannot be overcome by darkness. A little bit of light always wins out in the darkness. Every time. And we're to give God the glory for them. Now, just the remaining four verses, starting at 17. Do you think that I have come to do away with the law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets? I've not come to do away with them. I have come to make their teachings come true. Remember that as long as heaven and earth last, not the least point nor the smallest detail of the law will be done away with, not until the end of all things. So, whoever disobeys even the least important of all the commandments and teaches others to do the same will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. On the other hand, whoever obeys the law and teaches others to do the same will be great in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, then, that you will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven only if you are more faithful than the teachers of the law and the Pharisees in doing what God requires. This is the word of God, and it is given to the people of God. Thanks be to God. Phil, we will be reading much of that same scripture next week. You just finished, so you're ready. How many of you took a moment to take a look at the lunar eclipse that occurred Friday night? That you went outside, raise those hands high. Because I did too. I did. And I did see some of it, but it was getting late and I was falling asleep, so I didn't get to see the best of it. But it's still something amazing to watch as the unusual astronomically takes place. And it's predicted. The newspaper has it written down. Go out in the yard by this point in the evening and you will see. It's amazing. Did you know, though, that we're having a problem seeing things much less noticeable than lunar eclipses? Even out in New Mexico, where most of the mass telescopes of the United States are, the astronomers are complaining mightily with what they call light pollution. Light pollution is when cities and their lights begin to infringe into the darkness, and no longer is the dark really all that dark. And the lighter it gets, the more impossible it becomes to see the stars that at one time were easy to see. There's talk of moving these massive astronomical telescopes to other places that still do not have population centers near them. I suspect that would be a good fix, but it would also be, no doubt, a temporary fix. The lights that we see when we live in the city are everywhere. McDonald's, Stay Here, Holiday Inn, 24-hour service. Those lights glare at us, and they tell us that you're not going to be able to see up into the sky, but you can see the message we have. I've asked my family, when they're leaving downtown Asheville in the night, don't go the interstate, because there are places there where it's dark. And what I want you to do is come through town, go through Patton Avenue, and then let it become Smoky Park Highway, and come on home, because no matter where you are along that way, you will be near light, and you will be near people. But you know, the more I drive down some of those roads, the more I wonder if that's good advice. You see, not everybody who's living in darkness runs from light. A few years ago, our church sent a mission team to Alaska to work a couple of weeks with a beautiful church there at Mount Redoubt, and we did, and it was wonderful. But we were there at a time of year, early September, where the sun never went down. Literally, the sun never went down. If you're a person who has issues with darkness and long dark nights and shorter days, then that would be a good time for you to visit Alaska. But they pay the price of it, because a few months later, the sun never comes up. It stays dark all the time. What do you do during your periods of darkness? The ones when you feel like you're not the sun, you're not even the moon, you're not even a distant star. You're just hoping there's still some spark, some glimmer that remains in your life spiritually. What do you do? In Matthew's text this week, we begin to get a hint of how we live a life where there's always enough light. Jesus urges us not to seek to dazzle or to even inspire, though that usually happens when we're serving. It's interesting, Jesus nowhere tells us to seek to inspire. Instead, Jesus tells us that we are to seek to become lamps, not supernovas, lamps. But there seem to be so many more Christians who want to be stars than lamps. Jesus encountered that syndrome. You have this event that occurs where the sons of Zebedee, James and John, their mother goes to Jesus and is trying to barter, trying to strike a deal with Jesus. Jesus, in your kingdom, can my boys sit at your right hand and your left hand? And in that culture, those were the seats of honor. Can that happen? Jesus begins to set them straight. Jesus begins to say, it's not a matter of you seeking your place of honor. It is a matter of you being willing to get down on your hands and knees and wash feet. And as Melissa said, who wants to do that? This past Monday, I was at Duke University during the day while Derek Besmer was in surgery. I sat with Jody. And over to my right was a lovely young lady who I don't know how old she would be, but since I'll never see her again, I'm going to make a guess. I'm going to say she was around 40 to 45, somewhere in there. And we talked for a while, and she asked who I had. And I explained I was Derek's pastor, and she began to tell me about her experiences as a Christian. And she had for years and years, and she named the church, but I shall not, a very large community church in Raleigh. She had been one of the primary singers in their praise team. And she looked at me with a little bit of venom in her eyes, and she said, about 5 years ago, they cut me loose. And I said, what do you mean they cut you loose? She said, well, they didn't say it, but I think they were unsatisfied with the fact that I was no longer in my 20s and 30s. And there were younger voices that sang as well as mine, if not better, and they just cut me loose. Now, I was with her every bit of the way so far until she said this. Are you listening? She said, but I found another church. It's not quite as big, but I'm the main one on the platform at that church. I told her I was glad that she had landed strongly and so forth. I told her about you. I said, at Hominy Baptist Church, they have a pastor that can't carry a tune in a bucket, and they let me sing to them. At Hominy Baptist Church, we have a young lady with pretty significant special needs, and when she sings, it's the best services of the year. At Hominy Baptist Church, turns out, I wish I'd thought to say it, everybody's a star. She heard my meaning and got up and moved to another place after saying, I'm going to get closer to the window. Jesus said to the mother of James and John, it's wrong-headed for you to think that one of your sons should sit at one side of me and the other son should sit at the other side. Your sons ought to do what all ought to do. They ought to serve. That's how they get close to me. They serve. And when they serve, I draw near to them. We're in the season of electing deacons right now. Diakonos. What does that mean? What does that strange Greek word mean? Diakonos. You hear the similarity. Oh, well, it means deacon. No, that's our word for it. It means servant. So before you recommend someone to serve as deacon, make sure they're serving already. As James and John illustrate, there are many who wish to be stars when Jesus wanted us to be lamps. Lamps. Lamp Christians are those willing to burn their oil for other people. Listen to what Hebrews 10:24 says. Let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over others, studying how we may stir up, and the word used there means to stimulate or to incite. Studying how we may stir up to love and helpful deeds and noble activities among others. Our service is to do precisely what the children did. Melissa, weren't you so proud of your children this morning? Not only are they doing good to help other people, but to get other people who've been helped to help other people. Did you hear the children say that? Modeling, mentoring, however you wish to say it, the role of the Christian is to be a lamp of the light of Jesus Christ where service comes about. You remember that song? I know you do. Come on, sing it with me. This little light of mine, come on, I'm going to let it shine. Pitiful, this little light of mine, better, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now, you remember that second verse, come on. Put it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Put it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Put it, okay, that's all I can take. All right. You actually did great. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. But our time's up. And that's not how I want to end this. I want to end this by letting you end this. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You can walk down a path 1,000 times and never trip, never fall, never stub your toe, as long as there's enough light in front of you. But you can't walk down that path once without there being light. So I want you to close this service. But I'm going to illustrate. We talked a few moments ago about Derek and Jody Bessemer. Derek and Jody are two of the kindest, sweetest people I'll ever know in my life, that most of you will ever know. And they're going through a horrible time, and we're all wondering if Derek will survive this, and we simply don't know. I don't remember when, but about 5 months ago, Jody came to the church, and she encountered people who care for her and said, "I've just discovered I've got to get down to Durham right now, and I don't know how to do it. I don't know." And Teresa, the reason I didn't ask your permission is because you would have said no. But Teresa Cagley happened to be here, one of our lay people, and she said, "Let's go." And she put Jody in the car and she drove her to Duke, 4.5 hours away, and took care of her. About a month later, Derek and Jody were still doing the hospital thing down there, and he was going to be released. She drives down to Duke, this time knowing the routine. Teresa got her through it. As they get in the car to leave, they are hardly out of Durham in a sketchy area, and the car completely goes down on them. They have no power. And they call Tim and Kim Honeycutt in our church, who own a wrecker service, who said, "No problem." And they got a wrecker down there and pulled their little car up on it and pulled it back to Asheville and took it over to Keith and Amy Rice's repair shop and got them back on the road. I can't recall many times in my whole life where I've had the experience of doing something like that for other people. So let me switch gears. And then you're going to close our service. I remember when my father died, what ended up being sudden. And a man that he worked with at American Inca, my dad had retired there, drove to the hospital having heard my dad was declining rapidly. And he came up to me, put his arms around me, and he held me as I sobbed. Then he let me go, and the only words he ever spoke the entire event were these: "I've got to go back to work." And I'm talking about it 20 years later. The floor is yours. Stand up. Keep it a minute or less. Where has someone served you and brought light where you felt a lot of darkness. I've got all the time in the world. You just relax.